Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So I'm most happy to be in your company today on the most auspicious anniversary and appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra. So on this most auspicious occasion, we shall read from Srimad Bhagavatam, the ninth canto, about one particular verse, and we'll try to expand on that for your transcendental pleasure. So before we recite the verse, we say an invocation, and you can try to repeat after me. I'll say it slowly. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this is Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a postgraduate study of Bhagavad Gita as it is. And it's Canto 9, Chapter 11, entitled Lord Ramachandra Rules the World, text number 20. And the Sanskrit is as follows. Nedam yaso raghupate Surayachnayatha Lila Tanur Adhika Samya Vimukta Dhamna Rakshovado Jaladi Bandhanam Astra Pungai Kintasya Shatru Hanane Kapaya Sahaya. And the translation and the purport is by his Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder Acharya and our principal Shiksha Guru in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. The translation. Lord Ramachandra's reputation for having killed Ravana with showers of arrows at the request of the demigods and for having built a bridge over the ocean does not constitute the factual glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, whose spiritual body is always engaged in various pastimes. Lord Ramachandra has no equal or superior, and therefore he had no need to take help from the monkeys to gain victory over Ravana. Purport. As stated in the Vedas, Satasvatara Upanishad 6.8, Natasya karam karanam cha vidyate natat samas cha vyadikas cha drisyate parashya shakti vividaya shruyate Svabhavika Gyanabala Kriyacha. Quote, the Supreme Lord has nothing to do, and no one is found to be equal or greater than him. For everything is done naturally and systematically by his multifarious energies. The Lord has nothing to do, Natasya karya karanam cha vidyate. Whatever he does is his pastime. The Lord has no duty to perform to oblige anyone. Nonetheless, he appears to act to protect his devotees or kill his enemies. Of course, no one can be the Lord's enemy, since who could be more powerful than the Lord? There is actually no question of anyone's being his enemy. But when the Lord wants to take pleasure in pastimes, he comes down to this material world and acts like a human being, thus showing his wonderful, glorious activities to please the devotees. His devotees always want to see the Lord victorious in varied activities, and therefore to please himself and them, the Lord sometimes agrees to act as a human being and perform wonderful, uncommon pastimes for the satisfaction of his devotees. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Everyone, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, he used to state that although people may believe in Lord Ramachandra, but they do not believe in Lord Ramachandra. Because they want to the kingdom of Lord Rama without Rama in the sentence. This is the fact. And generally, it is those people who are familiar with the Ramayana. We're familiar with it. Right. So Srila Prabhupada used to say that avajananti mam mudha, that those who are familiar with the Ramayana but who do not want Rama in the center but want the teachings of Rama in the center without him are actually mudhas. They do not really understand who Rama is. And therefore they may regard him as a great personality who just appeared to give us some teachings in Dharma or in religiosity. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada also said that there are many philosophers, there are many historians, and there are many so-called intellectuals who regard Lord Ramachandra as an ordinary person but has come to teach us something although he is ordinary. They do not regard him as the supreme personality of Godhead. When the early devotees in the 70s first went to South India, they came across one political party called DMK in South India. They still exist even today. And somehow at that time, this political party was in power as a state in Tamil Nadu. And they accepted the theory that Lord Ramachandra was an ordinary human being who came from the north to conquer the south. Came from North India to conquer the South India, and he defeated Ravana just to get South India. But at the same time, Ravana was a good man. And the bad one was Lord Ramachandra. Okay. So they were going to establish the truth that Ravana was the hero and Lord Rama was the villain. They were going to establish that. And they successfully did it to some extent in that sense. They became so aggressive. These are big people, intelligent people, philosophers, leaders in society. They won the election and they were the state, they were actually controlling the state of Tamil Nadu. And they were so aggressive that they were against Ram Vijay Utsava. They were against even Dussehra. Dussehra means in the north, they make an effigy of Ravana and they burn him to death. They were against it. So violent and vicious about it. So they introduced another celebration where they had a procession with Ravana. Believe it or not, they should have a procession with Ravana. And at the end of the procession, they used to tie a garland of old shoes around the photograph or image of Lord Ramachandra. This is how demoniac they were. Ultimately, they could not continue. And they lost the elections in the next time round, in fighting struggle to come for power. So therefore, Lord Ramachandra's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not depend on whether others accept him to be the Supreme Lord or not. It does not depend on some popular vote from politicians and intellectuals like that. But those who oppose him suffer the consequences, just as Ravana suffered and was killed ultimately in the end. So therefore we should not hear, Prabhupada said, we should not hear about Lord Ramachandra and or Lord Krishna or any transcendental subject matter from mundane scholars or anyone who is not an actual devotee of Lord Ramachandra. This is the fact. Because it will not bring about a change of the heart and consciousness to actually be a lover of God. It will still be used for popular votes and still be used for political reasons and so forth. That they glorify Lord Ramachandra because people have a sentimental, you could say, understanding or a type of popular attachment to Lord Ramachandra. That is all. Otherwise they do not follow dharma that Lord Ramachandra has given. Now another thing that is quite popular is that Lord Ramachandra cannot really be the Supreme Personality of Godhead because when he was on his way to Lanka, he worshipped Lord Shiva. So maybe Lord Shiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is due to ignorance where they say Shiva is supreme and Lord Ramachandra is subordinate to Shiva, so therefore he is not supreme. Okay. Actually, the opposite is only true in that sense. Shiva is a great devotee of Lord Rama. It's mentioned also here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But sometimes the Lord likes to serve his own devotees. In other words, if somebody is very near and dear to you, out of affection, you will transcend the formalities of being supreme and do some service for them. So the example is given, just as Krishna used to follow the instructions of Mother Yasoda. Does that make Mother Yasoda God? Like that. And Krishna used to also carry the wooden shoes of Nanda Maharaj on his head. Does it make Nanda Maharaj God? Like that. Not really. And Krishna himself became the chariot driver of Arjuna. That doesn't make Arjuna God. Like that. And in the same way, Hanuman, you know, Lord Ramachandra had to build a bridge. But Hanuman didn't need a bridge to go to Lanka. He flew there before they built the bridge. So does that make Hanuman greater than Lord Ramachandra? Although apparently externally in the past time, he did something better than building a bridge. In other words, if the servant excels the master, it is the glory of the master. That doesn't mean to say that the servant becomes greater than the master. Just like a student, if he excels the teacher, it is the glory of the teacher. That my student has become better than me. This is amazing. This is good. Like that. It is the glory of the teacher. So we all know that Hanuman is not God. Hanuman happens to be the dearmost and best servant of Lord Ramachandra. And he did things that Lord Ramachandra didn't even do by his own mysticism and potency and power. But Hanuman knows that although he may excel in his activities in the service of Ram, in the service of Lord Rama or Ramachandra, but still, this can only be done by the mercy of Lord Ramachandra. By the mercy of Lord Ramachandra. Otherwise, he has no potency to act and serve Lord Ramachandra. So, a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he actually raised this question to Srila Prabhupada, that people are claiming that Rama, Lord Rama, wanted the mercy of Lord Shiva and his permission. Therefore, he worshipped Lord Shiva on the way to Lanka so that he can get his mercy and permission to kill Ravana. Like that. People claim like that. So Srila Prabhupada said, when people say like that, that they want to prove that Lord Shiva is simply a rascal. Why? That how can Lord Shiva give his permission and mercy to Lord Ramachandra to kill his own devotee? Lord Shiva will never do that. Because Ravana was a devotee of Lord Shiva. They're proving that Lord Shiva is a rascal. But Lord Shiva never did that. Like that. So then, Prabhupada said, oh yes. They will say, oh yes, he is my devotee, but it's all right, Lord Rama, you can kill him. Like that. Lord Shiva never does that. Like that. Never does that. Shiva means most auspicious. Sadashiva means always auspicious. He never does that. Like that. So then Srila Prabhupada explained that such people are proving that Lord Shiva is a rascal. But he said rather, Srila Prabhupada rather said that when Rama was about to kill Ravana, Parvati, the consort of Lord Shiva, she approached Lord Shiva. She said, you know, Ravana is one of your greatest worshippers. And you know now he's in the greatest of dangers. He is praying to you for protection. Why don't you help him and save him? Like that. Why are you sitting here and doing nothing about it? So Parvati is addressing Lord Shiva. And Shiva replied, that my Lord Ramachandra has come to kill Ravana. Nobody can save him now. Nobody can save him now. So Parvati said, oh, you are speaking about your Lord Ramachandra? He said, yes, this is my Lord. And if my Lord wants to kill somebody, even if he is a worshipper of me, I cannot do anything. I cannot do anything. And then Srila Prabhupada quoted that often saying, Rake Krishna, Mare Ke, and Mare Krishna, Rake Ke. that Srila Prabhupada said, if the Lord wants to protect somebody, nobody can kill them. And if the Lord wants to kill somebody, nobody can protect them, whoever we may be, how great the personality. So this is the proof that Lord Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Lord Shiva is simply subordinate to it as a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. Now here in some subsequent verses, it is clearly stated here, Purusha Ramacharitam Shravanai Upadarayan Anishramsya Paro Rajan Karma Bande Vimukshyate. That anyone who submissively receives the oral reception of the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra, especially his pastimes, will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy and be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. This benediction is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam of this Ramacharita, the nectar of the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. And what is the boon or benediction? That one will be free from the disease of envy and be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. This is given. Karma bandai vimuchyate. So if this is what the Srimad Bhagavatam is saying and the Ramayana is saying about the benedictions given in fully realizing the pastimes of the Lord, then we can understand that those who actually are realizing Ramayana and the pastimes of the Lord, they are becoming free from envy and they do not have a fruitive or business-like mentality. Fruitive or business-like mentality. This benediction is given. So if you hear anyone reciting Ramayana, but you know that they are not free from envy or becoming free from envy, and if you know they're doing it for a business, for political reasons, for social reasons, for sentimental reasons, then they're not actually in Ramayana. Because Prabhupada and the verse says here that Lord Ramachandra's reputation is not for having killed Ravana, neither it is for the reputation of building bridge, Setubandha, and neither it is that he needed the help of Hanuman. He just came in a human-like way to execute pastimes for the sake of play or pleasure, like that. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada used to quote, Janma Karma Chana Divyam Evam Yovati Tetvataha Tetvadeha Puna Janma Naiti Maviti Sarjana. In other words, Prabhupada quoted this verse in relation to Lord Ramachandra, stating that if you actually understand and actually realize what the Dharma is, the Sanatana Dharma behind the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, then you'll be free from not entangling yourself to take birth again. Tyakva deha puna janma naitima iti swaj. That you'll do your activities and you'll mold your life in such a way that you'll follow Dharma of Ramayana with Lord Ramachandra in the center. And therefore you will not have an inclination to actually take another material body again. This is the greatest benediction. You shall not take birth in this miserable material world again. Now at the same time, people claim, especially those who understand Ramayana limitedly, And at the same time, people claim that how is it that Lord Ramachandra, if he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how is it that he is banished to the forest? Nobody can banish God. So how is it is he banished to the forest? How is it? So Srila Prabhupada replies this question. Srila Prabhupada says that when the Lord appears, yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam sajamyaham. That the Lord appears to reduce irreligion and to increase dharma, religiosity. Glani bhavati bharata. So the Lord may have appeared in Ayodhya, but in Ayodhya there is no adharma. In Ayodhya there is no irreligiosity, there is no sinful activity in Ayodhya. So that is not the reason why the Lord appeared. And where was the adharma? The adharma was in the forest of Dandakaranya and in Lanka. So when the Lord Ramachandra appeared in Ayodhya, he cannot just leave and go. The citizens of Ayodhya, even Maharaj King Dasarath himself, what about Kaushalya, his own mother? Nobody would allow Lord Ramachandra to leave Ayodhya. So the Lord, by his own arrangement, you know, infused Kaikeya to do what she had to do. Like that. And therefore, by the boons that was promised to her, she asked that Bharat become the king and Ramachandra should be banished to the forest. Okay. So externally it may seem that he is banished, but that's the only way he could leave Ayodhya. Otherwise he could not leave. And his real business of establishing dharma was in the Dandakaranya forest, because so many of the sages and saints were being harassed by the demons there, sent constantly by Ravana from Lanka. So externally he appeared to be banished, but internally he came for the reason to go to Dandakaranya and to finish off Kamsa in Lanka. Like that. We should know this. And then some people may say, is a henpecked husband, how can he be the Supreme Lord? Henpecked husband. He was crying like an ordinary man when apparently means Sita was never stolen or abducted or kidnapped by Ravana. But apparently it may appear to be so. And many people in this world, they like that drama. They like to see how Sita is being snatched away by Ravana. They remember that more than anything else. And Srila Prabhupada said, why? Because they are doing the same thing in the material world. People like to snatch other people's wives for their sense enjoyment. They like to see that scene. And they say, only watching Ramayana. But only this scene is best for them. Like that. So this is, they claim that this Ramachandra, how can he be God? That somebody can come and kidnap his wife? He cannot be God, he must be an ordinary man. They claim like that. And even if they attach to Ramayana sentimentally, they like to see that scene. In that sense. They are rascals. In the name of Ramayana, they are rascals. Like that. So in the Kurma Puran, quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, like that, there is a verse, Sitaya Aradito Vamis. This Sita, Araditayo means, Aradito means petition, pleading, begging, again. And Vamis is the sun god. Sun god. Agni. At least Vamish is the fire god. Agni, like that. And this Chaya Sita Ajijanat. Ajijanat means this real Sita, Ajijanat means she created Chaya. Chaya Sita. In other words, an illusory form. Chaya Sita, Ajijanat. And then it says, Tham Jahara Dasagriva. In other words, that Chaya Sita, Jahara means kidnapped or snatched, Dasagriva, by the ten-headed personality, Ravana, like that. And Sita Vani Purangataha. In other words, the actual Sita went and departed to the abode of Agni. This is proof from the Kurma Puran. So when Lord Ramachandra was, you could say, crying and lamenting in separation from Sita like a henpecked husband, why was he doing that? Why was he doing that? He was simply doing it because he was actually separated from real Sita, was not kidnapped by Ravana. That's actual separation. Was not kidnapped by Ravana. So therefore, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he is all-knowing and omniscient, he knows that she was not kidnapped. She is somewhere else. So therefore, he could have easily went and defeated Ravana and finished him off and retrieved Sita, which he didn't do. Which he didn't do. Now there's a point here. Ravana knew that these two brothers, Lord Ramachandra and Lord Lakshmana, are more powerful than him. And what is the proof? That when Lord Ramachandra was killing him in Lanka, he said, "You rascal, you are a dog." Because the dog comes and snatches things when the owner is not there. So when I was absent, you came like a coward and you kidnapped Sita. Why didn't you face me and kill me and then take Sita? You didn't do that. So where is your power? Where is your power? And now that I'm here, kill me and you can take. But you have not done that. So Srila Prabhupada says in the ninth canto here that nobody can touch Lakshmi Ji Sita. Nobody can touch. Not even Ravana. So what he took away was the shadow form of Maya Sita. And he was playing with Maya. He was not playing with the actual Sita. Like that. In that sense. So this is proof from the Kurma Puran that Lord Ramachandra may appear in Leela as a henpecked husband for want of being separated from Sita, but not that Maya Sita that was taken away by Ravana. Yeah. And there is another popular, you could say, understanding of this. Because Lord Shiva is a follower and a devotee of Lord Ramachandra, like that. So when he get it, when he goes into what is called samadhi, while at home with Parvati, he closes his eyes. And when he closes his eyes, he goes to that place where his Lord is. Lord Ramachandra. So by closing his eyes, he went to that place where Lord Ramachandra was in the forest crying out in separation, "Sita, Sita, Sita, where have you gone?" And this completely bewildered Lord Shiva. And because he's bewildered, he said, "Oh my Lord, I cannot really understand my Lord." You know, he's too bewildering in his behavior. You know? And he started laughing like a madman. So when he started laughing like a madman, his meditation still in samadhi, but his laughter can be heard by Parvati. And his laughter is heard by Parvati, she nudges him. She says, "Hey, you're not with me." So then he comes out of his samadhi, his trance, and he looks at her. He says, "Why have you disturbed me? I was with my Lord. Why are you not giving me a chance to be with my Lord?" And she said, "You were laughing in such great ecstasy and happiness. Why don't I laugh like that and be happy also? I am your better half. Whatever you enjoy, I should also enjoy. So tell me, what is happening?" So Lord Shiva said to Parvati, "Look, I cannot explain. It is beyond you." And she says, "I knew. Did they say women are less intelligent? Now you're telling me I'm less intelligent. You mean I wouldn't be able to understand?" Lord Shiva said, "No, it's not a question of you not understanding. If I explain to you, you will not believe. You will not believe." So she insisted. She said, "I'm your better half, you should protect me. You are in such ecstasy of laughing and so forth and so much happiness. I should also experience this. I should also experience this." So when he started explaining what it is, then she said, "It cannot be true. You mean your Lord is like a henpecked husband? You are better than him. I cannot henpeck you. You cannot be henpecked by me. So that means you are better than him." And Lord Shiva, he can get really angry, but he cannot get angry with her. And then she said, "But I cannot believe what you are explaining, that he is crying for Sita. I cannot believe. I want to see myself." He said, "But be careful. You are treading in dangerous territory. You will not understand the lila. This is Parvati. But you will not understand his lila." So Lord Shiva said, "Okay. But if you have any doubts, you talk to me. You don't make your own conclusions, because you'll get into trouble and you'll be taught a lesson." Like this. She said, "Don't worry. You are my pati. I will always be surrendered to you. If I have any doubts in seeing the lila, I will come back to you." So he told her, "Close your eyes." And he closed his eyes. So through the samadhi, Parvati went through Lord Shiva's samadhi, and she was seeing in Dandakaranya forest. And what she is seeing? That Ramachandra, Lord Ramachandra, is like a henpecked husband. And what she is seeing? Sita, Sita. He only knows one mantra. Sita, Sita, where are you? Why have you left me? I cannot live without you. Sita, Sita, Sita. Only those one mantra, Sita. So much separation is feeling from Sita. So Parvati decided to play a trick. And Lord Shiva could not stop her. So Parvati, she transformed herself. Because she is Yogini. She has all mystic power also. She transformed herself into the exact image of Sita Devi. And she entered the Dandakaranya forest on foot. And she's walking towards Lord Ramachandra. As she's walking towards Lord Ramachandra, she impersonated the voice of Mother Sita, exactly like her. And she says, my dear Lord, my dear Pati, my dear Lord Rama, why are you crying like this? I am here. I was going to pick flowers. I got lost on the way. I am here. I am coming. I am coming. I am coming. But Lord Ramachandra is still shouting, Sita, Sita, where are you? Where are you? She's thinking, that is funny. That I am looking like Sita. I am impersonating a voice exactly. And I'm saying, I'm coming, I'm nearby, I'm nearby, I'm nearby. And she comes very near. And she still sees Lord Ramachandra is rolling now on the ground by this time. He's so much in separation. Sita, 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 where are you? She's thinking, funny. I am impersonating Sita. He doesn't get it that I am here. And then, so Ramachandra is rolling towards the impersonated form of Sita, who is actually Parvati. Right. Now Parvati, when she is not with Shiva, she is called Durga. You will never find Durga with Shiva. You see like that? Only Parvati is. Now because she separated herself from Shiva, she is now known as Durga. Shiva said, you separate myself, you are somebody else. You didn't listen to me, you are somebody else. Durga separated herself. So this is known to Lord Ramachandra also. So when he's rolling towards her, she's going backwards and then she's stuck against a tree. And she says, my dear Lord, I want to touch your feet, please stand up. I am your beloved Sita. Why are you still pining like this? Why are you still lamenting like this? I am here. Like this. So he looks up at her and he said, my dear Durga Mata, could you please help me to find Sita? Then she understood. This is the Supreme Lord. And she went back to her Pati, Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva started laughing like anything. And he said, this is my happiness. That you have left me and went as Durga, now you came back as Parvati. I warned you that you'll be embarrassed. I warned you. And she said, yes, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even if he's in Leela, looking like a hand-picked husband, pining for his consort Sita, still he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Still he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we should know this, that Lord Ramachandra is not ordinary. And even if we believe he's not ordinary, we should actually realize he's not ordinary and become free from envy, and become liberated from this act of fruitive activities of doing business with God. Doing business with God. So therefore Srila Prabhupada says that we can actually become liberated and free from envy by chanting the holy names of Hare Krishna. He used to say like this in his lecture. By chanting the holy names on the occasion of Ram Navami, So you can chant the holy names of Hare Krishna and Hare Rama. It didn't say chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So you can chant the holy names of Hare Krishna and Hare Rama. So by chanting, everyone, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One can become free from envy. And one become liberated and free from the fruit of mentality, which is actually very burdensome in the material world. So I'll end with one last pastime. As several devotees or disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they were arguing over the point that this Rama in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra means who. So one devotee told the other devotee that when I chant Hare Krishna Mantra, Mahamantra with Hare Rama, my consciousness goes to Balaram, because he's also known as Rama. So another disciple said that my consciousness goes to Parasarama, he's also known as Rama. And the third one said, no, my consciousness goes towards Lord Ramachandra, because he is Rama. So this went to Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya, and they asked him, this Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That Rama in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Srila Prabhupada, does it refer to Lord Parasaram? Does it refer to Balaram? Or does it refer to Lord Ramachandra? Who does it refer to? We want to know. And Srila Prabhupada said, as you like. So if you chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and when you come to Hare Rama, and your consciousness is in relation to Lord Ramachandra, it is in perfect order, because he also is Lord Krishna as an incarnation or Leela avatar to perform pastimes. So we thank you very much for your attention today and for allowing you to be of some service. So we can chant once more, and while the rest of the program will come into progress. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm sure you can do louder than that. You can chant through the screen, through the ether of radio. Everyone, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Ramachandra Bhagavan ki jai. Shri Ramana Mahamotsava ki jai. Itai go prahmanande. Thank you.